Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Let's see if the coffee's good.
Well, I made it, so it's fantastic. Mm.
That is some good coffee. We're going to need it today and for the rest of the week.
Woo!
Woo!
It's Good Friday. I feel like this is not...
It's not a woo service.
It is not
That's
the...
That's not a woo
This
day.
Is not the podcast to begin
Whoopsie.
With a woo, but
Whoopsie.
You got your woo anyway. Welcome back to Continuing Conversations.
Welcome
I'm
back.
Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Dana.
And welcome to our Good Friday discussion.
Yes.
Continuing Conversations. Are we pretending that it's after the service?
Well, I feel like you just pulled the curtain
just,
on that one. So.
We just finished up our 6:30 service. No.
We didn't. We are switching it up a little bit. This is Friday afternoon, and we're going to talk about Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, maybe sprinkling a little Easter in there.
Yeah, we can get there.
And, so we haven't done our Good Friday service yet, but we have each other's notes.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll get a little inspiration for it. This is a different...
Yeah, that's true.
We could...
That's true.
We
We're
could
reordering
add stuff
this.
In.
We kind of have to do it this way a little
yeah.
bit because
yeah.
it is... It's Holy Cow Week, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what they call it because it's Holy Cow. It's a lot. We had two services on Sunday, Palm Sunday, and then we had two services yesterday, Maundy Thursday, not Tuesday, which I called it Maundy Tuesday a couple of times.
Did you find that in the recording?
No, I didn't. I believe you that you said that I did, and I probably did.
I think I questioned myself for a second.
Oh,
like,
man.
Did you just say Tuesday, or did I think that?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know what day it is, but it is Friday,
it is
and we have one
Friday.
Service tonight, and then
yes.
we have three on Sunday, including a very, very early one.
Yes.
And neither of us are morning people, so.
Speak for yourself. I
thought you were not a morning person. Are you a morning person?
I can be a morning person. I am not.
You're a dog owner, so you kind of are forced to be
no,
a morning person.
No, I am up before the dog.
Really?
Let's be real. I have to wait for her to get up. I'll get up.
Darla is not a morning
person. I'll make
person,
my
then.
Coffee. I'll hang out downstairs.
Darla's still
and
snoring.
Then, yeah, Darla's like, cool, bed to myself. See you soon.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a 3 o'clock person. That feels like my witching hour.
Oh yeah.
Like,
3 p.m.
That's a rough time of day for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Same. That's coffee time
coffee
for me.
Coffee time, Diet Coke, something
coffee
like
time
that.
Or a nap time.
Yep.
That's good for me because yeah. I mean, if it's 3 o'clock on a work day and I'm here, that's not good. Then it's coffee time. But if it's 3 o'clock at home, that's good for me
nap
because
time.
That's usually around the kids. My kids don't nap anymore, but they take like a little bit of an afternoon rest time, which usually means right now it's Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. It's like a little kids Disney Plus show and it's Spidey and Miles Morales and the ghost spider is Gwen Stacy. I'm learning these things. I did watch Into the Spider-Verse, and I liked Into the Spider-Verse, but I don't have all of those names memorized. Anyway, that's Rhodes' obsession.
I'm not in that realm.
And then Super
cool.
Kitties is that's Athena's
Super
show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So cool. that means it's my nap time because we
great.
Can put that show on, and then I can just fall asleep to Spidey
Kitties.
Or Super Kitties.
Yep.
So
yep.
3 o'clock is good.
Yeah,
I agree. That is a witching hour. That's not fun.
It's not a fun time of day.
And we're getting to, well, we just passed witching hour.
I know,
now.
That's why I was looking at it of like, ooh, are we doing this over my witching hour? No, I think I drove here about my witching hour.
Right.
And so I listened to some sad music and, you know.
Pepped yourself up.
No, opposite.
Yeah, you cooled yourself down.
I cried a little bit in the car and it was like, what's wrong? Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
It's 3 o'clock. That's why I'm sad. And it's Good Friday, so it seems appropriate.
It's Good Friday.
It's a good day to cry, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, should we get into Good Friday?
I kind of want to jump right in because I want to say I feel like emotionally I put myself into this a little bit and had kind of a I feel like I was having dreams about Holy Week this week and last night. And then, I had a little bit of a sad day today of like, ooh, this is like.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, I don't know.
Yeah.
It does something to you.
It does. It's a heavy day for sure.
Yeah.
I like the way we do Good Friday service here at All Saints. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know, Good Friday historically at All Saints is this seven last words of Jesus from the cross. And we arrange our service around these seven words where short reading, short reflection, prayer, you extinguish a candle, another short reading, another short reflection, prayer, extinguish a candle. Mm-hmm. One of the words from the cross, we don't have a reflection, but instead we have a choir anthem. So yeah, we can use, you know, the arts and music also to be the reflection. It doesn't always have to be a pastor giving a reflection. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've done like poems or, you know, special music people have brought in, which is really kind of cool. So we mix things up, but it's nice because it kind of forces you to stop, take a breath, and examine each one of these seven words and what they mean. Mm-hmm. And it's a tenebrae service, which is I always find very powerful, this idea of tenebrae, of, you know, a lengthening shadows, a service of lengthening shadows. As the candles are extinguished, it gets darker and darker into the sanctuary, it gets quieter and quieter. You know, people have this, I don't know, sort of expectation. It just sort of hangs over the whole thing like a pall. It's kind of amazing.
It's a full experience.
It really is in and of itself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it ends with the strepitus, the loud noise, the big bam. It's one of my favorite services because I get to slam the book. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun. I get to take all my year's aggressions out slamming a book. I save it all for today. Save it all for this.
You don't have that many aggressions.
No, I don't. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe some will come out later. But it's a cool service. I like the way we order it, and I like that there's space for it. But I've done like the Stations of the Cross thing is kind of cool too, to kind of mm-hmm. do more of theatrical version of it. When I was a kid, I was Jesus in my church's rendition of the Stations of the Cross.
Aww.
I know, I was youth Jesus. So
I was Jesus at Christmas.
Oh really? Oh,
as
okay.
A baby.
You were right. You were baby Jesus.
So we've both
you were
Jesus.
Baby Jesus. I was the crucified Jesus. But it was crazy. I had to drag the cross like all it was we
oh
walked
gosh.
Down the street. Like they
down the street?
Yeah, they
like
closed
outside.
Yeah, they closed off some roads and there were little platforms along the way. So I'd drag the cross and then
cool.
stop. It was very cool. And it was all a youth production put on through the church. And it was really, really cool. My dad, of course, had the joke of, if he's Jesus, what does that make me? Oh, he loved that joke. He told everybody. Everybody that would listen heard my dad's, if he's Jesus, who am I joke. It's pretty good. So there's lots of ways to approach
Good
Friday.
Are they coming tonight? Are your parents coming?
I don't think so. It gets a little dark. So it's hard for them to drive this far in the dark. I like Good Friday. Good Friday is a nice, weird service.
Is Good Friday, not, I don't know, I'm getting them mixed up in my head now. Some churches will do nails in a cross. Is that Monday, Thursday, Good Friday?
Yeah,
that would
be a Good Friday thing. Yeah. Yeah, where there's some like interactive thing where people can put something in.
Write down whatever that you want to nail to the cross.
We have another. So in our worship space, there's a big cross that sits at the front, and that's been there throughout Lent. Mm-hmm. But there's another cross that's out in the shed.
Yeah,
that's we could use for something like that in the future.
Yeah.
Because it's just sort of sits there. And it's a lot lighter. It's a hollow cross too, so that'd be easy for people to nail stuff into.
I've always liked that piece for the noises of the nailing.
Yeah, to be able to actually hear it.
To be able to hear what nailing a nail into a cross, hammering a nail into a cross, like actually sounds like.
Really conceptualize what it is, because it's
it's
something we distance ourselves from.
Right.
Like if you watch the Passion of the Christ movie, it's very graphic. For those who don't know, it's very graphic. A lot of blood and gore and violence, but that's what this day is, right? But we sort of have, we sort of sterilize it in our mind because the horrors are just so hard to actually think about.
Right.
Yeah, so to even hear the noise of a hammer and a nail making contact would be like, to picture what actually happened.
I was gonna try to find a place to talk a little bit about that in one of my reflections, and there just wasn't a place where it worked out. But
right. Well, yeah. Should we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
So the first word from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That's the first word from the cross, Luke 23. And this is where we have our children's meditation. Sure, we could.
Since we're not recording and podcasting,
the first word, since this is mine, I'll read it. Luke 23, 33 through 38. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. So this first word, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing, I thought would be good to have our children's time, or kind of our children's message, mm-hmm. Because there will be some kids there tonight. There are less kids because it's a little bit later. And as we saw last night, Monday, Thursday, when kids are out late,
they get squirrely.
But also it's just
talk about a witching hour.
Yeah, really. It's a heavy service as well. So there are less kids mm-hmm. just because a lot of parents are like, oh, I don't know. But mm-hmm. I think this is like one of the most important services you should bring your kids to so they can see what this is really about.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't get into the graphic details.
Right. I was going to say, as we have kind of sterilized it, like is there that much to like shield your kids from?
Right.
I get it that mm-hmm. yeah, it's a deeper service than
right.
a lot of them.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Jesus dying, right? So you got to right. talk about death a little bit with your kids. They might have some uncomfortable questions about what death and dying is.
So I was talking to a friend and mm-hmm. She has a little boy. He's almost three, mm-hmm. and she was like, "Yeah, he almost gets the concept of like." Easter, where Jesus is risen, because Jesus
right.
like kind of died, or he's not really dead. And
yeah.
I was like, for theological reasons, I need him to know that
Jesus
actually dead.
Actually dies, yeah. And we'll get into some of that.
We will.
Throughout
we'll
these
get into
reflections
that later. But
of,
I just
yeah.
was like, I was like, okay, I get it that in his head he's like he's kind of dead, like
right.
But he's coming back, you know.
It's
so,
funny you say this because me and the kids were driving to Target Drive Up. And why were we talking about Lazarus? Oh, a song came up on the radio,
okay.
and it said it had Lazarus somewhere in the title.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, Lazarus, friend of Jesus, you know, that's... And I told that story, and the funniest story about Lazarus is in the King James Version, it says he's been in the tomb for so long that he stinketh.
Yeah.
King James Version says, stinketh.
Yep.
I love the stinketh. And the reason why... the gospel writer uses this, I mean, outlines this detail that he stinks is to say he's really dead.
Would start decaying.
They
yeah.
didn't want any yeah. question about,
right.
was this just, was he really just asleep or was he like in a coma or something?
Yeah.
No, they wanted to be very clear.
Yeah.
Lazarus
dead,
was dead. He
yeah.
even, he stinketh. He's yeah. real dead.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah,
so,
that comes around with this of, yeah, people are like, oh, maybe Jesus was just, he was just kind of, he went somewhere else. It's like, no, he really, really actually real died.
Which is important for the
resurrection. For the story, yeah.
And
for the resurrection to have any teeth, he's got to real
right,
die.
Right.
He's got to really
gotta
bleed
real...
and suffer and die.
Right.
And that's exactly what we talk about tonight.
Yeah, so I get it a little bit of like your kids... maybe aren't quite ready for
right.
sure, the like full theology of
right.
like Jesus dead.
Yeah, it's tough.
And,
mm-hmm.
and yes, we know that on Sunday we're going to celebrate
mm-hmm.
Jesus not being dead, being alive.
Right.
But and maybe kids don't have that like time in their brain to be like,
I don't know because
I don't know. But
yeah,
that's another important place
yeah.
to sit.
This
is
a
like,
good thing to bring up. Yeah.
yeah. So
yeah,
could
and,
be some good conversations.
And
if
it's
you
funny
want,
because
if you want it with your kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Later on this afternoon, after we talked about Lazarus being dead today, we were on a walk and it's been raining here the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And so there are dead worms out
yes.
on the path because, you know,
yep.
the worms come
yep.
up when it rains and some of them don't make it back to the earth and they sort of dry up and they look crusty and nasty on the path. And
Rhodes
just,
that description,
yeah,
of the
exactly.
Worms on the path.
You're welcome. But Rhodes out of the clear blue was like, these worms won't come back alive like Jesus and Lazarus, right? And I'm like, no. I suppose not. I don't know. No. They're part of God's creation just the same, but no, you're right. Yeah, these are real dead too. So, yeah, it's funny. A lot of kids process stuff in their own ways, and
but
sometimes it comes
so
out
good,
with worms
right?
later.
Like,
yeah,
but
I guess.
That's so good that we have mm-hmm. to compare that of like Jesus is the only one doing
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
This mm-hmm. isn't like, oh, death isn't real death.
Yeah, it's
no,
real death.
No, death is real death mm-hmm. for everybody,
yeah.
even Jesus.
Yeah.
But Jesus is the only one who's going to come back
yep.
from that.
Yeah, so, and the thing I left yeah. unsaid, of course, is like, and for all of us too. We,
and you too, Rhodes.
Much like this worm, we will all be shriveled and real dead.
Right,
but
right,
we have
right.
the promise of yep. new life. We have that promise and that faith that we cling to, but...
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Just like Jesus, just like Lazarus, just like those sad little crusty worms. Real death is real death. And yeah. that's something we confront face to face on Good Friday. That's kind of the whole point of Good Friday.
Right.
Right. So so I thought, speaking of the children and children's time, I wanted
yeah.
to do this as the first word because
yeah.
I want, you know, let's just talk to them first because they're going to be confused. It's dark. I mean,
yeah.
we cover up the windows in there. It's very dark. There's... Mm-hmm. candles, everyone's very sad, you know, everybody's supposed to come in and leave in silence, so it's
yeah.
like it's nice to address the children first to be like, what are we doing here?
Yep.
What is this? So
yep.
talking about the kids, talking about why this is called Good Friday and not
yes.
Sad Friday
yes.
is kind of
yep.
kind of how I go about explaining to the kids
yeah.
what this means
yeah.
and how this is a Good Friday because of what we are promised here. And it really does come out in this first word from the cross, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, even as Jesus is suffering and dying, the first word from his mouth is a word of forgiveness.
Right.
And that word of forgiveness and love is for us too. So this is a Good Friday, even though it is a Friday where we mm-hmm. confront death face to face.
Yep.
So... we'll start with the children's time. That'll be the first.
Yep.
That'll be the first part. Do you want to talk about your word from the cross?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My second word from the cross is from Luke 23, mm-hmm. verses 39 to 43. One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Mm-hmm. Truly I tell you, yeah, today you will be with me in paradise.
Yeah, so mm. I wanted to frame this as like we think of paradise as heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I think
right.
that's our connection to
right.
what paradise is and
mm-hmm.
how we reach heaven
right.
at some point after our death. Catholics have even more theology about that, but
yep. Purgatory and
yeah,
whatnot.
And, mm. and yeah. But that's not actually available to us
right.
while we're living today.
Right.
And for Jesus to say, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me
mm-hmm.
in paradise," I think that language of forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
that, I don't know, mercy and grace that is like offered to these criminals hanging next to him to say, "Today
yeah.
you will be with me." And
mm-hmm.
Well, I kind of put it in here too.
Yeah.
Like maybe we are supposed to be like, "Ooh, they're going to die.
Yeah.
Soon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll go to paradise." But
right.
I don't know. I think Jesus is saying today, like right now, in
right.
my living presence already.
In this right now.
Paradise is
yeah.
open to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that explanation because there's other
yeah.
takes on it too, you know, like because
I could
I'll
be wrong. What
no,
a,
I,
that's
I,
theology, right?
No,
I could
exactly
be wrong.
Right. I mean that's
yeah.
true too, of
yeah.
course. But I think two things can be true at the same time. We can
yeah.
hold them both
yeah.
in tension, right? So
mm-hmm.
Because the other side of this today thing is you know, I've heard people explain, and I've explained it to other people as, you know, because as Christians, we believe in a resurrection of the body. It's a resurrection of the body. So the whole thought of like you die and then this little like soul, you know, like you see in the cartoons, kind of just like escapes from floats out and you kind of hover there and then you get to go and fly up to heaven. That's not something biblically that's there. Right. It's a resurrection of the body. So, and that's something we'll receive on the last day. Well, as of yet, we haven't. The last day has not happened.
Right.
Yet.
Right.
So a lot of us kind of alarmingly then think, oh, you know, God, what is happening to poor grandma or whoever's in your mind right now when you think of, okay, where are they then? Well, if Jesus says today you will be with me in paradise, maybe the dying and the last day feel like a, you know, a twinkling of an eye. I think it's the Apostle Paul writes, you know, it happens in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. It will feel like no time has passed at all.
Right.
Like falling asleep and waking is, you know, maybe that's what it is, but who knows? It's a holy mystery.
I think this feels like a something
we don't fully know yet. And we can't really know. And that's okay. Yeah. That's one of the mysteries of life. But the way that you worded it in the second word, I think, is better for a day like today because it's something we can actually sink our teeth into, right?
Yeah.
The fact that paradise, you wrote, is love through the death. I think that's the powerful piece of it is that the paradise is found, like you said, here in the forgiveness, in in the mercy, in the right now. And I do like that it's a criminal who receives this grace, this word of grace that's stronger than really anything we see in our gospels.
Yeah.
You really don't see that anywhere else. Jesus saying, you know, like you said, paradise, is, we like to think of it as heaven, but it's, I don't know, it's certainly something beyond our imagining,
right? Heaven. I want to say it could be.
It could be. Who knows? But for the sake of this, right?
We can be creative enough. We can be, I don't know, curious enough, inquisitive enough to say, what if paradise is actually right here, right now, available
with us.
To us? So,
in the word of that forgiveness,
yeah,
Jesus created a little pocket of paradise.
Risking being wrong.
Risking being wrong.
We can live like that then too. And so
That's great.
I ended it, kind of my last sentence is, may we go as paradise people.
Paradise people. I underlined, you see? Because I like that. I like being
paradise
people.
Into our world to live through the love and promise of a Jesus who promises paradise to the worst of the worst, even the criminals, even the sinners. For we all are the sinners who need a savior.
Yep. And we don't know anything about the criminals. You know, we don't know.
Right.
You don't know what his crime was. You know, theft or what, you know, who knows how bad of a guy this criminal was.
We assume that they're receiving this punishment of crucifixion for a pretty bad crime.
Because they deserved it. Most people weren't crucified unless they were pretty bad.
It was pretty bad
actors.
Yeah.
But then again,
they crucified Jesus. So
yeah, so
like,
it could just be religiously or spiritually or politically motivated. So it's just really powerful that it goes to these criminals.
Right.
And this is such a high, I don't know, Christological statement there about being with Christ in paradise is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. So that is the second word from the cross. The third word comes to us from John 19:25b-27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. It's a lot of Marys. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. At the third word, this is where we're going to have our choir anthem, Weep, Mother Mary.
Yeah.
It was just such a perfect place to put it. I couldn't think of putting it anywhere other place of like, this is the best reflection, better than anything I could write of what this means. But we'll speak to it just a little bit. I don't know if you had any thoughts off the top, but the thing that always comes
up. We love John.
We love John.
The disciple who he loved. Yeah. That's me.
Who's the disciple that he wrote? Oh, the the guy whose name is on this book, John. Yeah. Oh, that's me, right? Anyway.
Jesus loved me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, good old John. But yes. So the thing that always strikes me about this third word from the cross, woman, here is your son, here is your mother. Mm-hmm. The thing that always strikes me is that Mary was a mother. You know, that's I always forget about that. Yep. This is her son dying up there. When what a horrible, like, stomach turning thing to even think about. You're watching your own child suffer like that. It's just terrible. Yep. So that's the thing that always strikes me first, is it really puts it in reality of, woman, here is your son, here is your mother. Like, oh yeah, that's right. Jesus was a son. He was, he had a mother.
He had a family.
He had a whole family.
Yeah.
And they had to watch this. It's unthinkable.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the walk from from that hour, the disciple took her into his home.
Yeah.
Of like, hey, let's not watch this anymore. Like,
yeah, let's just leave. You imagine, they'd go, okay, that's enough.
Right.
We don't need to stay here.
And like, hey, Mother Mary, do you want to eat something?
Yeah,
we should, you know, sustain you a little bit, because this is going to be rough. And like what that grief does to you, but to be taken into someone's home, to be surrounded by people in that kind of grief is so powerful also. I don't know, I'm thinking about that.
I couldn't imagine what happens after that moment. You know, because it does say from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. So Mary had a place to stay. You know, it was Jesus, as the firstborn child, had that was his responsibility to care for firstborn son in that patriarchal society. That was his job, is to care for the family. So Mary practically needed somewhere to live. So this call was a practical one. But I think the other thing we can take from this is also what being called to the cross means for us in, you know, in 2025. We're not called to the cross just to see Jesus die, just to stand there and be moved by the grotesque nature of what happens at the cross.
Yeah.
But at the foot of the cross, Jesus gives us our calling. Right? Because that's what happens here. At the cross, Jesus says, here's your charge. Here's your job. Right. Here's your call. So we as listeners can hear this word from the cross. Here is your mother. Here is your son. Of, you know, what is Jesus calling me to do here?
Yeah.
You know, I'm beckoned to the cross for some reason. Christ has called me here for some reason. What am I being called to do here?
Yeah.
Because there's an action to this. It's not just let's gather on the cross and, you know, mouths agape stare at the horror show. There's a calling to be found here.
There's an action.
There's an action here.
I like the prayer that ends this too.
Holy
God, may we as mothers and sons to each other, living out Jesus' call from the cross to take care of each other as a family bonded together by your love.
Yep. And that's kind of gets to the heart of we are called at the cross to be mothers and sons and brothers and fathers and whatever to each other. You know, we're called to this body of Christ, this family that we share, and we're bonded through this love that Christ shared with us first. So really powerful. One of the toughest ones.
It is a tough one. I think a song in there feels right.
Yeah, like, and as the third, there are seven, so it's not perfectly in the middle, right? It's close enough where it's like, okay, we need a little break.
Right.
And as a member of the All Saints Choir, I can say it's a good one.
Oh, good.
It's a good one.
Good.
So it's a powerful, powerful song. So I'm looking forward to that as well. The fourth word.
The fourth word is me again. Pause while I find my notes. The fourth word is from Matthew 27, 45 and 46. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
I was about to say, you said it confidently. And
I
that's
did.
The only thing that really
I
matters because
really,
nobody
like,
really knows.
In...
Yeah, Eli or Eli doesn't really matter. I've heard it said
oh, I've
both
only
ways.
Heard Eli. Okay.
Eli, Eli. Lema.
Lema?
Pastor Paul Stork, yeah. who was the interim pastor while we were finding you, he had a really good reading when he did this 1 year. And I think he had it a couple of years in a row, so I got to hear it. He really leaned into the sabachthani. He really
uh-huh.
leaned into
yep.
it
yep.
because he spent some time in the Holy Land, so he
okay.
had some,
yep.
some sort of dialect training or something. So you don't have to go for the guttural sabachthani like he did, which was really cool. But whatever you say,
yep.
like you said
yep.
it, if you say it confidently, nobody
mm-hmm.
will really know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. This one is the really.
This one's the
yeah.
one.
I know
of,
I
like,
I know I just said
yeah.
the third word was the toughest one, but maybe this is the toughest
this one's
one.
Tough. Yeah, this
because
one was
it's
tough to.
It's the one that we
write.
All relate to the most, I think. Because how many of us have at one point or another had this exact statement, you know, ring out
yeah.
from the depths of our hearts, you know, my God,
which is what I
why?
Talk about.
Right. Yeah.
And yet I think it's the one we relate to the most. We're like, but wait, that's just reserved for us. Like Jesus, like is God.
Yeah.
So now Jesus is crying out
to himself.
To,
it doesn't,
you know,
yeah,
there's
it's
a,
tough.
There's a like, Jesus is supposed to be above this.
Right.
And, holier than this
mm-hmm.
and you know like Jesus isn't supposed to experience this stuff
yeah
but
yeah how is Jesus yeah but this shows fully you know going back to
yeah.
what we've been talking about earlier that Jesus
yeah.
is fully human at the same
mm-hmm.
time he's fully God yes but fully human
yep.
as well and we can hold
yep.
those things in tension as well
mm-hmm.
as we're confused at how does God feel pain like how does God forsake
mm-hmm.
God's own self it doesn't make any sense to us
right,
but
right.
That's how we can connect and relate to our Savior because God knows what it feels like you know God
mm-hmm.
Jesus
mm-hmm.
in becoming fully human you know emptied
yeah.
himself
yeah.
As Paul writes you know taking the form of a slave
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus fully felt the depths of what it feels to be human.
Right.
And it's found here in the words that he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we all feel
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like you, he wrote, God, I know you're good, but this feels bad. It's this,
yeah.
How
yeah.
many of us
like...
have said that exact thing of like, I know God that... You know, I believe the words in the scriptures that say you're working all the things for good, but what is this?
Right.
Because this doesn't
right.
feel like it at
yeah.
all. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you kind of outline from the beginning of time, Adam and Eve,
right.
Abraham
right.
and Sarah, the Israelites, David, kings and queens
well,
and prophets,
so many,
all of them.
You could have gone through a whole list of
You
that,
could have
of,
gone through
the
whole
the
Old Testament. How
Bible,
many people,
but,
I mean, in the Psalms.
Yeah, yeah,
it's yeah. it's just psalm after psalm. You know,
right.
how many lament psalms do we have
right.
in their scriptures of just like, God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm,
mm-hmm.
that's what we read last night at Maundy Thursday during the stripping of the altar. You know, it's like, my heart is like wax. My bones are out of joint. You know, the waters rise up to my
yeah.
neck. We all feel this way from time to time.
Right.
Yeah, so... This mm-hmm. is the word from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Where we
yeah.
see that, you know, the embodiedness of Jesus's humanity and godliness all
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, as you write, God is demonstrating love through death because that's
yeah,
exactly
that
what is happening. That's exactly what this is.
I wanted to make the point that this isn't an angry God.
No.
Where did I say this? It not fulfilling an angry God's wish to see his beloved tortured
mm-hmm.
or this bloody sacrifice that no one else could give him.
Right.
Like, ooh, finally we found the one to
right.
be the real bloody sacrifice.
Right.
This is...
the substitutionary atonement
yeah.
theory, right?
Right.
Which
right.
is not one that the Lutheran Church holds up, which, like you were referring to, is this idea that, well, what happens on the cross is that God was so angry and there was nothing that could atone for all of those sins that humanity had committed. So the only one that could be sacrificed to atone for all of those sins is God himself in the form of Jesus. Right. And it's like, boy, that just makes God feel
so
vengeful. Like, and so that's not what this is. It's not a substitutionary thing where it's like Jesus is doing it for, you know, to please an angry God, you know.
Yep.
But
well, and so I wanted to wrap that back then into Jesus' sentence to death without due process is an act worth our fight for justice. Jesus' wounds to his body are worth the healing. Jesus' abandonment in that moment of forsakenness is worth all of our gratitude.
Yep.
For the sins that
we've sloshed upon him. I like the way that's a good word choice. Sloshed. It's a it's very it's a beautiful word choice because it's really does sort of bring to mind what this feels like. And to bring up the fact that Jesus's death was without due process. You know, he's handed from party to party, you know, from Pilate to Herod back to Pilate. Nobody can find him guilty really of anything at all, yet he goes to the cross just the same. So if Jesus dies in this way, and Jesus is worthy of our reverence, as you say, then who else in our world today is worth that as well? You know, who can we bring to mind who deserves this sort of love?
Everybody.
That's the end.
One person is worthy of it, then everyone is worthy of it. If no one's worthy of it, then
none of us are.
I was going to say, then everyone's still worthy
sure,
of it.
Sure, right.
But,
mm-hmm.
There's this like encompassment of all of it.
Yeah, it's all in Jesus's, comes full circle here.
But in the way that Jesus is so wrongly put up there by an empire, by the state, by these, you know, Romans, that at this... In looking at that, that's not God either. That is how we as humans have let the sin infect everything into power.
Yeah.
And the powers are going to be the ones to kill Jesus.
Yeah. It's the empire that did it.
Yeah. You know? And that gets lost in the substitution atonement theory.
Yeah. Because it puts it on like God wanted this to happen.
Right.
God needed this to happen in order for us to get to, and it's like
we can't
take out our own human element, which is what we do to powerful political figures that try to upset the apple cart is you get killed. That's just sort of the end. The fifth word from the cross, John 19:28-29. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. "I am thirsty" is the fifth word from the cross.
I like that the sour wine was standing there.
Yeah, it was just sort of hanging out.
I don't know why.
Wonder why.
It's like, it was just standing there. No, not sitting there. Or
standing.
Resting there. It was standing.
It was standing. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder why. Yeah, and why was there just a jar of sour wine? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess in case somebody was thirsty on the cross. You don't want to give them water.
Yep.
Give them some sour wine to
kind of
add.
Dehydrate them faster.
Yeah, they die faster. Yeah. Add insult to injury of like, here's
this.
So it's
not really quenching a thirst.
No.
In
fact, it's sour. Yeah. Ugh, yeah, it's horrifying. And to kind of continue this theme that we've been talking about of, once again, we see that Jesus is not God putting on some human costume,
doing
some divine play of like, oh, here I am, I'm dying up here. You know, it's like, no, God was fully
in the
human.
Process of dying.
In the process of dying. Dehydration is setting in, his body's broken, he's bleeding, he's suffering, and he's thirsty. Well, you know, one of the most human simple needs. I need a drink of water.
I like your connection to Jesus talking about living water and and eternal life.
Yep.
And so by not giving him water and giving him wine instead, there's a strange turn of that, of like,
the source
this
of,
element can't sustain your life right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The source of living water himself is denied the water that he needs.
Yeah.
It's kind of a strange irony, you know, the source of living water, Jesus, is himself thirsty.
And the living waters of our baptism.
You
mentioned.
And then
you brought it back to our Beatitudes.
I know. I felt a little funny. I'm like, finally we're out of the Beatitudes. I'm like, I don't want to talk about the Beatitudes for another year and a half. I never want to hear the word Beatitude again. But here we are. It's like, I could not say it, you know, because one of the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Yeah.
And that is something that Jesus, you know, did. He thirsted for all to be free of hunger and sickness and violence and greed and all those things. He thirsted for that love and connection and community. So when we hear Jesus's thirst on the cross, it should make us wonder to ourselves, you know, what do we hunger and thirst for? And how are we fighting for those who are hungry and thirsty for justice and peace and a place to belong?
Well, and I think sometimes we distance ourselves from hunger and thirst language because we don't live lives where we actually hunger and thirst. We've on this table right now, we've got four drinks in front of us.
Like, that's true.
We are not struggling for clean water or our next meal or questioning that. So sometimes that's like, eh, yeah, not me. And so the connection to, like, what do we hunger and thirst for, justice-wise, love-wise, like...
That's a good point, to remember that people really do, in our world today...
Not
have access to clean water. Right. So what are we... Are we thirsty for that kind of justice?
Right.
To bring water to people who need water. Something that we... You turn a tap, you got an unlimited source of water. I got all the water I need, and it's practically free, or it feels like it. I know there's a water bill, but it's like, I never think about, like, turn that water off. You know, it's like, I wouldn't just leave it running all day, because that's wasteful, first of all, and also you pay for it. But it does feel sometimes like just this resource that will never run dry.
Right.
You just let the tap go all day. But yeah, that's a good point.
So that is still a word for us somewhere.
Yeah.
Even if we're like, not me. Nope.
Yeah.
But there's more meaning in that, than than we know.
Yep. Sixth word.
Okay, moving back on. Back to me. This is John 19, verse 30. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Mm-hmm. It is finished.
It is finished. I guess I was really focused on noises around this
I liked
in the cross.
I liked that you took this tact on it, because we've been talking about, you know, thirst, and that's another sense, right, of our taste and everything. But and there's a lot of things you picture on Good Friday. Mm-hmm. You picture the nails in the hands, and you picture the blood, and you picture the the dust in the air, and the dirt, and, you know, the sweat, and, you know, there are all these things you picture.
Yeah.
I didn't give much thought to what it would sound like.
I don't know. I guess I really, like, it was in my brain what noises would be.
At this point, what did it sound like?
And we were talking last week about the difference in the crowds from Palm Sunday, who are cheering him on, shouting Hosanna, here's our king, here's our Prince of Peace, Messiah, you know. And I wrote the donkey's walk from the perspective of what the donkey is hearing on that. And so thinking about those noises of celebration and shouts of joy and you know, reverence too.
Right.
Then we come to crucifixion noises calling for Jesus's death.
Yeah, crying out, crucify.
Execution, and you know, and like how different those were, and then what kind of like silence happens when someone takes their last breath. Right?
Yeah.
Like this is such a difference of what's happened all week.
Right. And the crowds are all stirred up during Jesus's, you know, sort of sham trial, right?
Right.
Of just crucify him, right? But I also imagine, as you sort of lay out in your reflection of, I imagine that those crowds, they weren't here now. Because what are they hanging around for?
Right, they're not watching this.
Most people probably went, like, oh, this is grotesque. I don't want to be here.
Or they're like, cool, we're done.
We
now.
Did it.
Got
it. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, I'm sure at this point, whoever's left hanging around, it's just a smattering. Because who wants to stay and witness that? So all the people
up a few characters.
Whipped up a frenzy. Yeah, exactly.
Who I imagine might still be at the feet of Jesus on the cross, and that was Mary Magdalene. We know she was there.
Yep.
Someone who had such hope in this Jesus.
Right.
Who followed him around. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, she was probably right there with all the disciples.
Yeah.
We don't get the word of that because, you know, woman. But,
woman, yeah.
But she was probably right there with all the disciples. Yeah. She knew all of the things that Jesus would teach about, and now her friend, her Savior, her Messiah is dead, like breathes his last breath.
Right. The one that she anointed, and wiped with her own hair and sat at his feet. And, you know, that's all you hear about Mary Magdalene is like, she's just always in this like adoring position.
Yeah, like awe.
And suddenly,
suddenly
she is.
This one who had such big promises for her.
Yeah.
Of life and joy. And,
and now what?
Like, now you're dead?
Golly,
So I'm thinking about her just like in shock and silence. The next one I brought up was Martha.
Yeah.
And she doesn't get brought up as much, but as one of my favorites, like the helper.
Yep.
The one who's like getting everyone together.
Yeah.
Right.
And how,
like,
how
is not going to take.
How helpless she must feel
right
now. Right. How can you help in a situation like this?
But is not going to take a second to kneel there and feel her grief. She's going to put it to work.
Right.
She's going to say, what do we need to do? We need to get him down off this cross.
We
got
to
wrap him
up.
We need to find
who's got the oils, who's got the spices. We need to do this. You know, there's all this ritual.
Hey, you strong guys, you're going to carry him because we know you can do that. Like,
She's laying it all out. Very type A. Yeah. I imagine that. Yeah.
So I'm, what, you know, is Mary like, shut up, Martha?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Just be in the moment here.
And Martha's like, this is how I'm grieving. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how I know how to help.
Yeah, a little foreshadowing to my sermon on Sunday. I talk a lot about Mary and how she approaches what she didn't know would be the empty tomb, but how she approaches the empty tomb. So you'll hear a little bit about that on Easter. But interesting.
Then,
that's an interesting sister dynamic.
And then the third one I put in there was Peter, who sometimes a little misguided, you know, goes to battle for Jesus. But then Jesus says, hey, you're going to deny me three times before I die. Mm-hmm. And Peter's like, I would never do that.
Who, me? That guy could never do that. But
and
then he does, right? Yeah.
And now Jesus is dead.
Yep.
And Peter says, what did I do?
Yeah.
Like that, I actually did that.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of regret and, I don't know, like, this kind of settles within him, right?
Yeah.
I imagine Peter being the one wailing.
Oh, I'm sure, because, he probably takes it on himself.
Noise, like,
because he is such a passionate, all throughout the Gospels, we see Peter as this sort of hothead. Like you said, he slices the ear off the slave, and he's the first one when Jesus is walking on water.
Yep.
He, like, stumbles, trips over himself to get off the boat, like, I'm going to walk on water too. And, of course, he sinks. You know, he's just sort of this hothead that's like, action first, I'll think it through later.
Right.
Peter, I imagine, would be just beside himself.
He's kind of dramatic.
He's a dramatic guy, so he would be
that.
Overwhelmed with grief.
Right. So an ending to this story, or to this day at least, an ending to Jesus's death right here.
Yeah.
just, yeah, having very different noises around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what this day would sound like.
As he breathes this, like, it is finished.
Yep. Yeah, and I like as you end with, it is finished, you know, but not the story. You know, it's finished, but we all know as Christians that it's actually just the beginning, you know, but this this chapter of the story is finished. Yeah, that's cool. That's a cool way to sort of pause. Now on to the seventh word, Luke 23, 33 through 38. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last.
So it's already finished, and then we have another version.
And then there's more. Yeah, I always think it should probably end with the, it's finished, but the breathed his last part, I guess, should be the last. I don't know. Yeah, there are different ways you can
definitely change it.
We have that power. Okay. We have that power. We absolutely can.
We could do it right now for the service.
We could flip them around. But then I go twice in a row. Oh, the people would never forgive us. They would go, "What's happening?"
Anyway.
So, yeah, I did a little bit of digging into the crucifixion story. And in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, there's only one word from Jesus from the cross. And that's the one that you gave earlier, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yeah. In Matthew and Mark, that's the only thing Jesus says from the cross, just my God, my God. Okay. And if you were to only have Matthew and Mark's account of the gospel, what a terrifying sort of haunting word you'd be left with. The only thing he said in his suffering and dying is, my God, like, that's all. They don't get the other words, you know, the words of comfort and the it is finished. They don't get any of that. All they get is Jesus just going, "Why, God?"
Yep.
But now in Luke, because we have the other accounts of the gospel, we have Luke and John as well to compare to. We get this other word from the cross, which is, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And it's really powerful that whatever was stirring Jesus to say, "God, you've abandoned me," up here, apparently now that's gone. And now there's this word of sort of trust, a word of faith, and and even hope of into your hands now, God, you know, it's finished. I give my spirit to you, God. I'm, you know.
Yep.
And the thing that kind of makes this so powerful for us is, you know, is this how we would respond? if we were in a situation like this, surely not. I'll speak for myself. If I was in Jesus' position, nailed to a cross, I'd have a lot of choice words that I can't say on this podcast. I would definitely not be, you know, forgive them. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing. And into your hands, I commend my spirit. You know, it would be bitter, vile vitriol. You know, when we're pushed in positions like this, when we feel like we've been abandoned and we're all alone, do we respond with hope and trust to God? Do we respond in this way? And of course, the answer is no. And that's why we need Jesus, right? We're not Jesus. We could never respond with this amount of grace and love for the world. So this one kind of leaves us going, what do we do with this?
Which is a good ending then of what do we do with this? So, sorry,
and the thing is, the thing we can do is go and tell this story of how Jesus responded.
Right.
Jesus' great love for us shown no better than this. This is the apex of the Christ moment in the history of the world. This is the apex. So will we just go throughout our life like nothing happened? Will we get into our car at the end of the Good Friday service and just go, "All right, that was a nice little service. Where do we go? You know, let's go get something to eat," you know, or will we let this change us in some way? Will we let it be something that we can take into our life and share far and wide and do something with it. You know, that's kind of what we're called to do, not to to earn it in any way, but to just let it do something in our lives, or else what was this all for?
But change us to a point that, like, the death of Christ has things to learn and purposes to to see. And it's not just like, okay, Good Friday's over. Yeah. We'll see you Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, but that this, like, has so much meaning in, I mean, we've talked for almost an hour. Like,
Yeah, because there's something we can do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've talked, like you said, we've been talking for an hour, and we've talked about lots of, you know, who out there needs our passion for justice, who out there needs our you know, all of our energy to try to end hunger, to try to end people's disconnect from clean, drinkable water. You know, it's one thing to just sit at the foot of the cross and just sort of bask in it and wallow in it, and that is something that Good Friday is for. Absolutely, that's something we do on Good Friday.
Yep.
But there's also something we can do with all of this, which is take it with us and find something that we are being called to do. We are given a call here. We're given a charge here at the cross. We can go and let this change us in a fundamental way where we can do no other than go out and fight for justice and love for all people, for all the people of the earth, because that is who Jesus died for. Jesus here on the cross did not die for the worthy. I'm doing air quotes, right? Jesus died there on the cross for the thieves beside him, you know, for all people. Look at his followers.
Yeah.
It's a heavy day. But
it's a heavy day.
I always look forward to this service. It's very quiet. It's very dark. It's very slow. And we do our best to encourage people to come and walk into the sanctuary in silence and leave in silence. Because if you just sort of sit in it and let it be what it is, I think that makes Easter morning so much more powerful. Mm-hmm. And if for whatever reason you didn't, you, dear listener, I'm talking to you, didn't get a chance to make it to either our worship service on Good Friday or another church's worship service on Good Friday.
We gave you a pretty good rundown.
This is, is something, let this be it, you know, sit in this and see how the pastel and we're sitting right now in an office that's filled with flowers. And you can smell all the flowers because they're kind of in hiding right now. But we'll take them out. You know, there's lots of bright pink and green and purple and blue all around us. But all of this, it means a lot less. It's cheapened if we don't go through the death on the cross to get to the empty tomb. It can be a lot richer of an experience. So if you have any questions.
Yeah.
We would like to hear them. We want to continue the conversation with you. That's the point of this podcast. So, write to us, send us an email, give us a call here at church, stop by, say hi. We want to continue this conversation. So thank you for being with us this Good Friday. Thank you for being with us through all of Holy Week. We're not going to have a continuing conversation on Easter. That's why we're doing this now, because Easter is just so much. We got to get out of here.
Jesus is alive.
He's alive.
There's your Easter podcast.
He is risen. Even on Good Friday, we can say he is risen. It will happen.
Risen indeed. Amen.
Yeah, exactly. So we won't have one of these on Sunday, but we will continue the conversation later. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.